Welcome to Crosspoints, a podcast to help you make Christ the center of your life. Brought to you by Crosspoint Christian Church in Grosse Pointe Woods, Michigan. I'm your host, Gary Abood Jr. In an increasingly busy world, it can be difficult to stay connected to your church between Sundays. It's our hope that this podcast will help to fill that gap. On this episode, we'll be speaking with Associate Pastor Nate King about why student ministry matters and how we all should think about relating to the teens in our church. Nate King, youth pastor here at Crosspoint. Welcome to the program.
Hi, Gary. How are you?
I'm doing well. Glad to have you in the studio with us today. We're going to be talking about a really important topic, as we always do. Today's topic is all about how to get involved with youth ministry. So I want to ask this big question. Obviously, you are the youth pastor here. Do you need to be a youth pastor to get involved with youth ministry?
No. Good question.
Okay. So knowing that, all of our listeners, you can stay tuned in. You can feel free to keep listening now. But why is it important to have youth ministry? Like, why should members of our congregation, why should they care about youth ministry if they're, maybe if they don't even have people in that age group in their families at this time?
Well, youth ministry has been around since the early church. We have specific commands in the Old and New Testament for encouraging youth spiritually. It's around now. It's going to be around in the future. And so it is an important part of the church. It's not the most important thing, but it is an important part of the church that should the whole philosophy behind it should be carefully considered.
So we do a lot of ministries here at Crosspoint, and obviously this is one of them. Mm-hmm. As I understand it, it's an important piece of who we are, our church identity here in the local community. We are here in part because we want to work for and serve youth. Youth ministry is a big piece of what we do. Could you talk a little bit about why that is important for our local church?
Yeah, so our working vision as a church is to reach families through effective and children and student ministries. So, that's our working vision. It's what we based a lot of what we do off of. And so our community is full of families. We have a dense population, right? So we have multiple high schools within 5 miles of the church or less. We have multiple different communities. We have the Grosse Pointes, Detroit, East Point, Roseville, St. Clair Shores.
Harper Woods.
Yeah. So there's multiple communities and cultures within those communities and people who are believers. And I think we have people or have had students from all of those communities in the past. So it's important that we reach those families. I've noticed in the communities there is a focus on the children. In all of those communities I mentioned, there's a focus on schools and sports and all these things that children and students are involved in. And so I think it's important for us to pay attention to that. Yeah, it's an important part of our church and something we should consider.
So on average, you know, in a given year, how many youth are you working with in all the programming that we have here through the youth ministry?
If every student came every week, we'd probably have around 70.
Okay.
What actually tends to happen is there's a lot of students at the beginning of the year, and it starts to kind of even off or settle in. We have, I would guess, probably around 40 fifth through eighth graders who fairly consistently come, and then 25 high schoolers who fairly consistently come. Yeah.
So that's a pretty significant number. Now, I've been a high school teacher for a number of years, and the biggest group that I've ever taught at one time was like 34. And that was quite a bit in terms of working with high schoolers. So I would imagine that with the numbers you're talking about, this is not a one-person program. You can't be doing all of this on your own. You have to have help.
Correct.
Am I right about that?
Things go poorly if I'm by myself. So, you know, yeah, we definitely have to have help. We divide up fifth and sixth, seventh and eighth, and then the high school. So within those groups, we have small group leaders and game leaders. We have people who just come and do our little cafe sometimes. Yeah, so I definitely have multiple levels of help.
So there are some opportunities for people to get involved in this, even if, you know, they haven't done that before.
Oh, yeah.
And so it sounds like there's a couple different opportunities here, whether you're working with one age group or another or in a different capacity. I guess let me ask you this. Why should people get involved with youth ministry?
Well, because I need the help. No, people should be involved because we have a large amount of students whose parents are members in this church. And so they are believers, a lot of them. I'd say the majority of them are. And so they are valuable members of the church who need to be taught and learn to grow to be more like Christ. And so we need people who are mature mentors who can come alongside and disciple them.
You know, as I think about one of the things I used to hear a lot when I was teaching high school science, people would learn what I did for a living and they would go, wow, good for you. That's so great. You can work with youth. I could never do that. I heard that so many times. And I have to imagine that in your work that you probably hear some version of that as well. Do you ever get objections to people wanting to be involved who kind of say something like that? And how do you respond or what would you want them to know?
Pretty often I do. I think most people are being genuine saying like, oh, I had a hard time as a teenager, or I have a teenager right now and I feel like I don't want to invade their space or whatnot. And I understand that. But oftentimes people will say, I can't relate. You know, I can't relate to those kids. Bless you for doing what you do. I don't know how you do it. I just can't relate to those kids. And I usually respond with, you're correct, you can't, and they don't really care if you do or not. I like to joke with the teenagers and use like the words of the day, you know, whatever the word of the year is that they're using, you know, no cap or that's lit, or yeet and things, and just do it on purpose to show I don't understand what's going on. And I get the eye roll and stop it and you're not cool type thing. And that the point, I'm not relating to them. I don't understand, but I can still joke and respect them and the culture that they live in. I don't have to relate to it.
So that's really encouraging, I think, for some of our listeners who might go, I don't know what any of those words were that Nate just said, and I definitely don't feel like I can relate to teenagers. So if it's not important to relate to teenagers in working with youth ministry, what would you say are some of the things that are important that people need to keep in mind?
Yeah, so if we go through life going, I can't ever do anything because I can't relate to that, that's kind of a bizarre way to live, right? I can't relate to the day-to-day life of a plumber. I've never been a plumber. Does that mean I can't befriend the person or walk alongside them in their life and think through what's going on? That would be a strange way to operate as a Christian, right? I don't know the day-to-day life of a lawyer. I'll never be a lawyer. I mean, I'd get angry in court with people, and it's just they're just doing lawyer things. I don't know, whatever. So, but I can still treat them with respect. So what are some things, you know, that you can do? Well, first off, you can just listen. Ask a kid around the donut table on a Sunday morning, hey, how's school? Tell me what's going on. Tell me what are you playing sports right now? What is there a concert? Can I come to a concert? You don't even have to be working in student ministry to support a kid. And we have multiple people who do that, who will come to concerts and games and things and support a kids. I tell people I can't go to every kid's game, right? I can't even go to one game for every kid. I mean, if all 50 of them are coming, that's incredibly difficult to accomplish and still have family time. So to have people that come and support students is a good thing.
You know, one of the things that I think about when I imagine youth ministry is it stands out to me that I think of how Paul and Timothy, their relationship in the early church, you see Paul describing Timothy as a youth. Mm-hmm. I mean, very, very specifically speaking to like, don't despise your youth. Like there's an advantage in being young in the work that he was doing. Are there other examples that we have from the Bible of being involved with youth ministry or in these types of situations where someone may have not thought I could do this and then they were able to do it? What are some of those that you think of?
Yeah, so there's, I mean, plenty of examples in Scripture of people being taken out of their comfort zone or out of where they thought they could relate. Peter was a fisherman. He wasn't a big-time speaker, but then he goes and is a theologian in the temple, gives the first, I mean, great sermon of the disciples in Acts, and just, you know, clearly the Holy Spirit is working in and through him, but he does something that culturally should have been very different. Paul, in the same way, goes from being this high-level trained theologian, Jewish and Roman citizen working under the bigwigs in the Sanhedrin to working with normal people on the ground, and he makes tents, right? He's building churches and making tents. So there is a change there that goes on. He's still a theologian. He still preaches, but he's working with people differently, like Timothy. In the Old Testament, Gideon goes from a wheat thresher trying to separate the wheat with no wind in a pit through a long process, and God drawing him through that, eventually becoming a warrior and a leader. And a judge. Moses goes from a royal stutterer to a leader of a ragtag group of slaves that God has freed and brought out of Egypt. So there's huge cultural shifts that happen. It's not like they had to understand everything about and be able to relate to everything that was going on. But they, in all of these cases and more, I think you see that there's a general respect for God and his word and a care for the people whom God has chosen. And all these people were flawed, but they still did it.
You know, and it's an interesting piece there, too, to think about flaws versus areas where you maybe aren't currently strong or where you're not gifted or talented in a certain area. The example you gave of Moses really stands out to me because there's this throwaway line, I think in Numbers, where right after Aaron and Miriam basically like yell at Moses for who he chose to marry, there's this throwaway line that says, describes Moses as being meek or something to that effect. And it's right after that. So it says kind of essentially, they tell him like, why'd you marry this person? You shouldn't have married this person. And then Moses is like this timid guy. So, you know, the kind of implication there is that he was, you know, a pushover or that his closest people in his life could, you know, kind of come down on him. And yet we see him later on being the exact opposite of meek or the exact opposite of weak, if you will. And not that those are the same thing, but if we look at that example there, Moses had some specific things, stuttering. You know, he wasn't a great public speaker. He wasn't maybe the strongest, most assertive person. He goes from doing that, having those character traits, still able to then lead God's people as God leads him to take them out of Egypt.
I think that's the key, right? You just mentioned it. It's God that's leading them to do his will. And being understanding culture and being able to relate isn't one of the prerequisites. It's, I've called you, go and do this. And they go, okay, I'll obey. And some of them takes longer than the others, but that's, it's for us today in the church age, it's the Holy Spirit being able to empower us to do his work, to work his will. So
people listening right now who are interested to get involved with youth ministry, maybe they're a little bit hesitant because they go, I just don't have the skills that someone like Nate has or that it sounds like I need. I'm hoping that they're hearing some encouragement here to know that you don't have to have it all figured out before you get involved. You don't have to have the same strengths or gifts that everybody else has to be able to do this work.
Right.
And in fact, God will equip you with what you need. And on a practical level, Nate, you'll show people what they need to do if they don't know something. I would imagine like there's a little bit of training and working together to help people get involved in the ways you need them to. Could you talk a little bit about that for us? Like, if somebody wants to go and be a group leader and they want to go on a camping trip or an event or something like that, do they get some preparation to help them be ready to do those things?
Yeah, so we do a little bit of training at the beginning of the year, talk about our schedule and calendar and what we expect of small group leaders and things like that. A lot of the training is on the job, right? So you're having a small group and this topic gets brought up and you're stumped on it or you weren't ready for it. And so we'll have a conversation to talk through it. Or we find out, okay, here's a situation going on with a student. A parent comes to us and says something's going on. We'll frame a conversation together. We'll pre-frame it and say, here's where we want to try and bring the student or to understand it. Or here's how you could answer this question. The biggest thing is, okay, kid asks you a question you don't know. Don't lie. I don't know. I'll go find out for you. I've never met a student who gets mad at me if I go, you know what, I got to think through this for a second.
So I want to ask, as you've seen youth ministry over the years in your experience, you've worked with many different individuals who have been youth leaders and who have volunteered in this capacity to serve with the youth ministry. Do you have a particular story that would be encouraging to our listeners to kind of help them see the fruits of this work and this service in the opportunities that they might be considering?
Yeah, so we've had a wide range of youth leaders. Some have served for a long time. Some are only able to serve for a couple of years because they have to go. We've had high school leaders work with middle schoolers and things like that. So they go to college or there's moves and things like that. We have leaders who are 50, almost 60 years older than some of the students, and they do a wonderful job. I just thought of a couple of stories. One, we had a leader who was tentative for a couple of years and always kind of said like, hey, you know, I don't know if I'm doing a good job, and was just not confident. And they ended up going on a trip with us a few years ago, and something just clicked in their head. And they've just really begun to understand that, you know, it's not about if I can relate all the time. It's just I just treat them with respect and listen and talk and ask hard questions of the students and things like that. I think of times on we do a hiking trip every couple of years, or a backpacking trip, and we went canoeing one time or a couple times in Algonquin, and just being able to hear stories of leaders who talk for 8 hours. You're in a canoe with a student, like in 8 hours that kid's going to start to talk. So they just listen and talk and are able to give good advice. We've had kids who have chosen colleges based off conversations they've had, who've settled in on careers because they realize I can do this and God loves me. And that's because of a leader that's talked to them, not me. There's instances of leaders swooping in to help with issues of grief and tragedy. And I'm not saying I'm happy for the grief or tragedy, but I look fondly at the love and care leaders have had. We've had leaders do biblical counseling with students. I mean, I could go on and on and on, but there's so much stuff that I don't do that leaders can do because they're working with a smaller group of kids, and they don't have to worry about big picture stuff. So yeah, there's a lot of stories.
So our last question for you today, Nate, is this. Let's say that there's a new family that moves into the area who has a 14-year-old daughter. They've moved from out of state, and so they don't really know anybody around here. They found our church, and they've gotten involved with our church, but they want their child to be involved with the youth ministry. Is that something that can happen at any point during the year? And if so, how does a family go about getting involved and getting their student connected with the youth ministry?
Yes, you can get involved any time of year. There's a couple times in the year where there's kind of spaces where we take a break. So August, we stop our youth group, but we still have our Sunday morning lessons. And that's just so I can go on vacation and we can plan things and get ready for the new school year. But for the most part, you can jump right in. There's the only thing that we have is like a health form that we have people sign whenever their student joins and actually settles in. You can go on activities. I have kids ask me all the time, like, hey, can I bring my friend go-karting? They don't go to our church. And I'm like, well, no, absolutely not. No, you cannot bring your friend go-karting. We would not want them to see that we can have fun together and it's a safe place for them to enjoy company. So no, please don't bring your friend. Yes, you can bring your friend. You know, it's we want our church to be a place that is a safe place. I don't hesitate to use that word. We need a place that kids don't have to have their guard up constantly and worrying about what's being said or judged or whatever. They can come and be honest and open here. So yes, they can come any time of year. The one exception I can really think of is like if you came in the first week of July and we were heading on a mission trip to Portugal the next week, of you know, probably not going to make that happen. But over the pandemic, we had students come from other churches and they've integrated well. The biggest thing I tell parents is even if your child is introverted and quiet or shy, that's okay. That's their personality. They still can reach out. It's not on the church to cater to your every need, and we don't want to set that mindset. If you want to be a part of the church, come be a part of it. Come engage. We'll help you with that, and you can engage within your personality. But we don't want the church to be a place that's, you know, well, we're just going to cater to every person's individual need. You come and be a part of our group, and you'll settle in okay.
So these are some really great ideas you've left us with, and we'd like to know if you could kind of sum things up for us. What would be one thing you'd leave our listeners with today if you had to kind of put it all into a single statement? What do you want them to take away from this?
We are constantly in need of help in youth ministry. You can help in youth ministry, whether it's as a small group leader or simply praying. I mean, we have a group of ladies that comes every week on Tuesday and just prays, and they pray for the whole church, and one of the things they pray for is our students. We have people who say, I don't have the time to invest in youth ministry as a small group leader, but I have money. Do you have kids that need to go to camp? Yes, we do, and they can't afford to go. Or how can I support you in other areas? You know, can I take a kid out? You know, yes, we can set that up in a careful way, you know, and invest time or just go to sports things like I mentioned before. Just go, hey, and then on a Sunday say, I saw you at your baseball game or basketball or lacrosse or whatever. Like, it was really fun. You seem to be a really good athlete. That was cool to watch. You have no idea the value or the appreciation that a teenager has to say, okay, I'm valued by people and they care about me. It's huge.
So you've heard it here. We need your help. We would covet your prayers, and you can make a difference in youth ministry, whether you think you can or not. And we would love to see you get involved here at Crosspoint in the youth ministry somehow. We'll put in the show notes how you can get in touch with Nate to be able to follow up about this if it's something that's on your heart. But Nate King, youth pastor here at Crosspoint, thanks so much for joining us on the program today.
In the words of the great theologian Chick-fil-A, my pleasure.